Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother. She even has a granddaughter in the studio with her today. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all grapple with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Good morning or good afternoon.
Yeah, happy Tuesday. Here we are. Today is one of those exercises in flexibility and not taking anything too seriously.
Nope, summertime.
Summertime, which is the theme of today's show. So yes, hello, Carol. It's nice to see you. I know you've been here since 4 this morning.
I have.
So thank you for holding it all together.
But this is fun. This is the fun part here. Yeah,
this is my fun hour.
Yeah.
And also, I've invited Nick Larson in for the hour from Proxima Parada.
Mm-hmm.
Hi. And I'm so excited you're in town because I know you're going out on a big tour this summer.
In one week. We leave exactly a week from today.
Yeah. So you've got an extended summer vacation, some would say.
Oh yeah, you could call it a work trip or a summer vacation, depending on your perspective.
As opposed to a staycation.
Right.
This would be a workcation.
Yes.
And then I'm doing double duty as reluctant therapist today and grandma. And so my granddaughter is here. She promptly spilled the entire bag of goldfish on the floor as soon as we went on the air.
Of course.
So we'll be picking up goldfish and talking about summer and kind of the whole, I don't know about you, but I'm really about new beginnings. Like I love anything that's a fresh start. You know, I enjoy the beginning of the school year. I enjoy New Year's Day. I like the start of seasons. I really like when we have a fresh start. Mm. And this time of year, and I think because I'm a teacher, I still get to live on that cycle of summer vacations. I think that once you hit the real world, the working world, there really isn't that delineation between the different seasons as much. Because if you're working full time, summer is just a hotter time of year, but not necessarily this long break. But I still kind of look at June when classes are over, finals are over, as this time of endless possibilities, you know, kind of this long, easy, I don't know, span of time that I get to make of it what I want.
Right.
But also the timing of summer is different in different parts of the country. Because if you live back east or you go to a school that's on the semester system, summertime really back east is May 31st. It's Memorial Day weekend or whenever Memorial Day weekend falls. Mm-hmm. That is when all of the, you know, people emerge from their homes after long winters. Mm. They put up the flags on the flagpole. They open up beaches. I mean, Memorial Day weekend is really a big East Coast opening of the summer season. Mm. But here, it seems a little different that summer really is more tied to the end of school, coming into summer, and also the piece of the summer solstice.
Right.
And is that something you ever pay attention to?
Like celebrating the summer solstice?
Yeah, or the winter solstice?
I know that everyone around me does that, and I'm supposed to.
Are you feeling solstice shame in this moment?
I ran into a really nice man in our community named Eric today, and he reminded me that the summer solstice was upon us, coming very soon, and that our shadows are quite short. And so now I noticed that for the rest of the today, like, oh yeah, wow, look at how short my shadow is.
Now, see, I never would have connected the two because you would think longer shadow, but maybe because the sun is directly above us on the summer solstice, that shrinks our shadow down. And the other piece, the solstice is starting this Friday, the 21st. So in a lot of parts of the world, it's a big celebration, longest day of the year. There's a lot of longest day of the year celebrations to honor that. In ancient China, it actually was a huge celebration of femininity. Mm. So the summer solstice was in honor of the light and the earth. And so that was connected to the yin energy, the feminine, and it balanced the masculine yang energy of the winter solstice. Mm. In other parts of, you know, the world, Stonehenge is connected to the solstice. There's a lot of music festivals that kick off right around this part of June. And I think
Live Oak is coming up.
Live Oak is this weekend. It's kind of all tying that together, that even though Live Oak is a different weekend this year, it's usually Father's Day, but it's going to be aligned with the summer solstice. Yeah. And so they're supposed to be according to the lore around summer solstice, this heightened internal spiritual energy that emerges out of each of us as our soul reaches for the light.
Mm. Wow.
And I wonder if we're just so busy being in the summertime or working or being in our lives that we don't feel that. But according to those who really pay attention to the mindfulness, the shifts in their body, that you can, if you pay attention on Friday the 21st, that you should feel this lifting of your spirit, this lifting of your soul that makes you feel energized, that makes you feel more connected to the natural world. It's why I think in the summer, I guess you have more energy for activities. And you would think, you know, on hot days you slow down, but because of this kind of solstice energy, it reinvigorates us to wanting to be in the natural world, to be with friends, to be with family. So that kind of inspired me, the festival this weekend, the starting of summer, summer solstice, and then also because I poorly planned any sort of summer activity. I'm thinking about summer vacations. And the history of vacations and why we take vacations and what it does for our mental health and well-being.
History of vacation, that's an interesting topic. I've never really thought about there being a history to it.
Well, wouldn't you love to be the researcher that wrote the grant and said, I think I'm going to study vacations, which will include going on many vacations until I figure it out. But yes, there is a history of vacations. And a couple of the findings that have come out recently, because it's an ongoing research, there's actually an organization called TakeBackYourTime.org, and it's an organization that's trying to mandate or make time away from work kind of a cultural expectation. And in the face of what's happened over the course of the last 50 years, that now the average American works actually a month longer, 160 hours longer per year than they did back in 1976. Today, only 40% of people, less than 40, 14% of people take a 2-week vacation anytime. 40% of us will leave vacation days unused. The United States is known as the no vacation nation. We are the only industrialized nation in the world that does not have mandated paid time off. There are 137 countries that do. In 1980, the United States ranked 11th in the world in longevity, right? Our lifespan. And currently we're at 42.
Wow.
And our country suffers from depression and anxiety at 2 times the rate of Europeans who have long extended summer vacations. And so their theory is that our lack of vacationing, our lack of time away from our day-to-day is contributing to the mental health struggles that we have. And in a kind of darker connection, the suicide rate, the high suicide rate we see in middle age and older men, because men are the worst at taking their vacation time. And when you don't take vacation, your rate of heart disease goes up by 32%. Wow. So this vacation research has really kind of hinged around a lot of health benefits.
Wow, this is fascinating. This is good.
Aren't you glad you stopped
in? Yes, yes. This is very convincing argument so far.
All right, so today we're going to, between the two of us and anyone else who wants to call in and share, we're going to talk about some of our most memorable vacations. For me, usually the vacations that didn't go as way you planned it, the way you planned it, are the best. We're going to talk about our most memorable vacations, what a good vacation looks like, how to prepare to have a good vacation, and just kind of see where the hour takes us.
Wonderful.
But I'm excited to have my friend and guest, Nick Larson from Proxima Parada, here for the hour. We're going to be opening up the phone lines to you at 805-781-3875 to be part of the conversation. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and if you'd like to be part of the conversation, but calling in isn't your thing, you can call and ask a question to Carol, because I'm sure Carol will be happy to pass the question on to us. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can jump on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, or follow us on Instagram, which I know Proxima Parada does, at Elizabeth_TRT, and the shows are updated there. You can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org, or if you'd like to podcast the show to keep up while you're on vacation, you can go to Apple Podcasts or however you find podcasts. Ask your grandkids how to find podcasts. They'll put it on your phone for you. Search A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Hit subscribe and the show will be uploaded and you can listen at your convenience. So I'm looking forward to seeing where this hour of vacation takes us. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back in a moment to take your calls.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and I am here with Nick Larson. Okay, so you've had a moment to think about this. Most memorable, were you from a vacationing family? Did you grow up vacationing?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No way.
So this is all news to you.
Oh, absolutely. Vacationing, that sounds like such a luxury, and it's wonderful to hear that it's normal in other countries, So I'm inspired by that. But no, I did not come from a vacationing family. I mean, my parents are both like paycheck to paycheck, hardworking. We didn't really have a lot of spare time.
Created at least. A quarter of the population has no paid time vacation.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes my dad was like working under the table, doing, whatever physical labor he could get his hands on. And, I come from a different world, mm-hmm. not a vacationing world. So I'm learning about this potential.
Yes. Well, and because it's not a cultural story, we're kind of a Puritan work ethic kind of story. Put your nose to the grindstone. Why America gets ahead is because we work harder and longer than every right. other country. And that's kind of been a value that has been prominent for generations and generations.
Right.
And even more so, as you can see by the statistics, that we work longer and more hours for less pay now than we
right.
did in 1976. So, and we have higher rates of mental health issues, and we have higher rates of different diseases. And so there's got to be a really strong correlation
right.
that I think we're missing the huge payoff or value to having that vacation time. And it doesn't have to be an expensive world cruise
right.
or Disneyland.
We did do the occasional thing. I remember my dad, I grew up in Sacramento, and during the winter, sometimes he would just like hop us. We'd get in this car and we'd drive up the road until we saw snow. And we'd pull off to the side of the road and we'd play and play until we were too cold to continue. And then he'd get back in the car and drive us back.
So when you were exhausted, basically,
yeah,
he would just
too
run
cold.
You.
Yeah.
that was
a vacation for sure. Definitely never no snow resorts or anything like that. It would just be like some hill mm-hmm. that we could like use a little
slide down on a cardboard.
Yeah, slide down on something. Yeah. And for us, that was amazing. We loved it. We'd bring some hot cocoa and a thermos and we'd be set.
Well, and that's what's so funny about the whole conversation around vacations is that when we hear vacations, we usually talk about going someplace like Disneyland or a prepaid vacation or something that has to be really complex. But I think, and you and I talked about it a little bit before, is that some of the best vacations and the best memories are the ones, one, that didn't go right.
Yeah, right.
That you had the best laid plans and everything went wrong. Or that were really quite simple.
Yeah.
Because part of the interesting research is that a lot of these really highly coveted vacations, cruises, or things you planned for a year, quite often there's so much hype or expectation.
Pressure. Yeah.
That it's almost more stressful being on the vacation
right.
than it is staying home.
Right.
I don't know if it's my most memorable vacation, but the one that if you ask my brother, like, when do you remember going away? My dad, for some reason, I don't remember how this came to be, but a friend of a friend or someone gave my dad their RV to use. And this is way back in the early 70s. So RVs were pretty, rare at that time. Mm. And no one really knew much about them. And so we get in this RV and we're going on a road trip. And the first night out on the road, we're driving up into the Sierras, and the RV smells awful. Mm. And because it has an onboard, you know, restroom. And so my dad's going, we got to do something about that. And so we pull into a casino in Reno, and it's kind of the middle of the night, and they have some station that you're supposed to pull into and, you know, empty everything out. And so my brother and I are fascinated. I was probably 10 and he was 7, and we're looking out the back window, and my dad's, you know, swearing and kicking the side of the machine and kicking the side of the RV, and we're just laughing, and he gets it all done. And we go to leave out of the parking, this long dirt parking lot. We're yelling to my dad, something's following us, something's following us, because it hadn't, I guess, all the way dumped. So it,
Oh no.
And so my dad's driving willy nilly through this parking lot, trying to kind of get away and take off down the road. And then, of course, parking it to stay someplace, there weren't really a lot of RV parks, and so we just kind of pulled over on the side of the road someplace. And I just remember waking up that first morning after the all-night adventure and, you know, going through the lot and looking out over the mountains. Not even sure where we were, but it was the most phenomenal experience to sleep in the car you were driving in, then to walk out and be in this completely different place than I'd started off the day before.
Wow. And there's some spontaneity involved there.
Absolutely.
Which I think is huge for a good vacation.
Yes. All right. So since you didn't grow up being a vacationer, do you have vacation ideas?
Absolutely. And I have been fortunate enough to create those for myself in my adult years. But yeah, I didn't do a lot as a kid. But when I studied in Spain, that was a wonderful time to then go out on little vacations. Well, like, you know, in addition to studying, I also made time to actually go out and travel and experience things. And a lot of it really did start with that spontaneity and asking, like, what do I really need right now? What do I really want? As opposed to like, oh, what's the craziest place I could go to? Or like, what's somewhere I've never been to? But like, what do I really want? What sounds good to me? My very close friend from high school just said goodbye to me this morning. And he came to visit San Luis Obispo for the first time in 6 years. And he was planning on staying for one night. And he was like, he's in this interesting place where he has all this free time right now. And he was like, you know, I was thinking about going to Mexico City. I was thinking about maybe going to Israel. I could do anything. I don't know. And I was like, well, but what do you really want to do? And he's like, well, I just want to like practice the guitar and write songs. And so he decided to stay in San Luis Obispo for 2 weeks. And he was just gonna stay the night and have a little visit. So, you know, when we really check in and we see what do I actually want? You know, the idea of going to Israel sounded really cool to him, or going to Mexico City sounded cool, but he's like, actually, I think I just want to chill and play music. And
just so, be in my space. Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing that's really interesting, that you said that in the guidelines for how to do vacations correctly, because, of course, there's a whole body of research about how we should vacation, because of course we wouldn't just wing it.
Right.
And so the body of research, the very first thing it says is to tune in with yourself and think, what is it that I really need at this moment?
Cool.
Almost exactly word for word what you said.
Hey.
And yeah, that because a lot of times people choose their vacation kind of based on what they see in their social media or what seems to be the most popular place to go.
Exactly.
Or they check all these lists of where do I want to be seen, or, you know, maybe we're thinking about what will make the best selfies to send back instead of really thinking about what do I as a person need to feel revitalized.
What sounds nourishing right now?
Mm-hmm. And so to check in with, am I someone who likes adventure? Or do I want to learn something new? Or do I want to see a new place? Do I want to explore? Do I need to just relax?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the great thing about where anyone lives, when you have a friend come to town, all of a sudden where you live is a vacation spot to them. So you start.
Right.
So what did you do?
Oh, man, I was really in vacation mode. And what was weird is that there was no pressure on David. Like, hey, David, you can stay here tonight, one night. You can stay here as long as you'd like. It's okay.
Which is another conversation about how to be a good guest. But go ahead.
Yeah. And what was so cool, and he's such a wonderful friend. Every day was a new adventure. He's like, you know, I might leave today, or, you know, maybe I'll stay one more day. And that's how it went every day for 2 weeks. Like, oh, you know, maybe I should head out. Maybe I should go to Israel. Like, you know what? I'm going to stay another day. So every day felt really exciting. And like we cherished every day that we had together.
Okay, that's number four on the list.
Oh, cool.
When you go on vacation, make sure you cherish each day. Mm. Take time for gratitude.
And we stayed. I don't have a lot of space. So he was staying in my room with me. And every night before we went to bed, we would say three things that we were both grateful for the day, which is so nice to share that with him every night, you know.
And so what were a couple of places that you took him to in San Luis Obispo that you mm-hmm. saw through a different lens over the last couple of weeks?
Oh, a different lens. That's an interesting question. Well, what's cool is that just walking around downtown San Luis Obispo was really fun because he's in this time in his life when he really wants to just get out and meet people and say hi. And so everything became an adventure of just like, you know, sitting down for lunch at Luna Red or something mm-hmm. or sitting down at Bliss. We're like meeting people and hearing people's stories. And so it's cool that there's really endless opportunities right in our front yard here. Mm-hmm. But he was taking advantage of those opportunities where maybe we won't because we're so used to living here.
Right, so. Which is great about having the different lens or having a guest come to town. And the important part of the idea of vacationing is that a vacation really is just a separation from your day-to-day. Mm. A vacation is a removal of yourself from the routines that you know. So a vacation really doesn't have to entail flights or trains or boats or however right. we get places. It can be as simple as seeing your town in a different light right. or, you know, it's making a commitment to make one of the things they said was create a cozy space, a vacation space in your residence, whether it's a corner, a nook, something, create a vacation space that you kind of save for when you have time to savor, right. you know, with blankets or pillows.
Or you could maybe unplug.
Yes, you don't have your screen there. Maybe it's not in front of your TV. Because yeah. I think a lot of people's vacation place is on their sofa.
Right.
But another space, it almost has a candle and some flowers. Mm. Maybe it's the one window in your house that looks to the one tree yeah. that you can see from right. your yard. I said, create this vacation space, and then you make an intentional time, you know, from 5 to 7, I'm going on vacation to my space. And you can just breathe during that time or look through photos of other adventures or people uh-huh. that you love. And that sparks serotonin and dopamine and brings those good feelings inside when we just look at pictures of people that we love.
Yeah.
Play music, which I would assume you might do in your right. vacation space. That we can vacation in a lot of ways that have nothing to do with having to plan or spend a lot of money.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. I'm here in the studio with my friend Nick Larson from Proxima Parada. They're getting ready to go out on probably one of the biggest tours.
This is our biggest tour so far. Yeah. I think we were just counting. I think it was 25 or 26 shows in a row. So it'll be nice and busy.
And what are you looking forward to on this adventure?
It's always the people for me. It's always those unexpected conversations and interactions that really do it for me. So going to places that I've never been. I've never been to the Carolinas, at Georgia, you know, places like that. Going up to Maine and just hearing people's stories. I think that's what I can really just get lost in those.
And when you're out on this tour and introducing your music to new fans, new audiences,
right, yeah.
what's the first song you like to open with to say, here we are,
ooh,
this is who we are?
Right. Sometimes it depends on what the venue is. We kind of feel it out. Like, okay, what's this crowd? Does this crowd look like they're ready to dance right now? Or are they're kind of just getting into it? Everyone looks relaxed. Maybe it's a work day or versus a weeknight. It depends on the time. There's some places we'll play that are like concert series that are maybe more like our Concerts in the Plaza thing, where it's kind of like a Friday after work thing, or maybe you want to ease into it, or like if it's like a bar or something or some concert venue, then maybe you want to hit them.
So you're curating that first song.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's like, it's nice to just set a precedence, like, hey, we're going to have a great night together. So we'll play. There's some songs on our new album that we've been throwing in as a first song that are just really fun that invite people to
to get out
loose.
And boogie.
Yeah, yeah.
Our number is 805-781-3875 if you'd like to be part of our conversation. Nick and I are just talking about our memories about vacations, what a good vacation looks like, maybe a memory or two of something that you've done, or what are you looking forward to this summer? You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. And Marissa, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Kitchen. Hi, Elizabeth and Nick.
Hello. Are you getting...
I just had to call in because I'm feeling a little bit vacation-y right now because I just came from the site of the Live Oak Music Festival.
Wonderful.
And I'm just feeling relaxed and excited about the event. But it made me think of some of my favorite vacations have been staycations. Mm-hmm. And there was one time when KCBX had an auction, and one of the lots was an overnight stay at a beautiful bed and breakfast downtown San Luis Obispo, and I bought it.
Wow.
And stayed right downtown and then just explored our own downtown for a couple of days, just without anywhere that I had to be. And discovered, just like you were talking about previously, how do you see something from a different lens? Oh. And so we were tourists in our own town,
so
and
cool.
discovered new little restaurants we hadn't tried, new little shops we hadn't tried out, and then just walked around, bought a whole bunch of records.
Oh, nice.
And it's just nothing like buying music. That's just super fun for me.
Agreed.
Going into bookstores, and that was... one of the most memorable vacations that I've had recently is just staying in somebody else's roof in my own hometown and exploring it in a relaxed way.
Yeah, with like this beginner's mind. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
And I like that too because that's kind of for me the whole theme of today is to look at vacations from a micro level instead of kind of the big, you know, vacation with the heavy expectations and, you know, exotic places, but really the importance of vacating our day-to-day life just in the simplest of ways.
Right. Yeah. Well, so
we look forward to getting out in the dirt with you.
Yeah, and mostly not dirt this year at Live Oak Music Festival. It's beautiful, the sun is shining, so anybody who is able to get tickets is going to really enjoy cool weather. It'll be in the mid to lower 70s during the day,
nice.
And it'll have some morning fog clearing up by midday.
Wow.
Just kind of a new, fun, exciting experience at our new venue out at Alachua Regional Park. So
wow.
I'll see you out there.
Thank
see
you, Marissa.
You
thanks
there.
For calling
Thank
in.
You.
See, now... oh, nice. The whole energy of, hey, Marissa already sounds like she's on vacation. She's only 10 miles away.
Nice.
So what are those, you know, for those of you listening, what are some of those simple vacations that you've been on that surprised you? They were so relaxing. 805-781-3875 is our number. Because, again, I'm kind of going back to the research of what does it take to get the health benefits of a vacation, because given that, again, we're considered the unvacation nation, that we leave 40% of us leave vacation days on the books, that people are afraid to go on vacation because they get behind at work, there's no one to cover for them, they feel like they might, you know, lose their job because if they see they can live without you there. I mean, there's a lot of anxiety about even going on vacation, but the health benefits, the reduced in heart risk, lowered blood pressure, improved sex life because your hormones start to activate, those feel-good hormones start to come to life when you get out of stressful situations. Mm-hmm. And even if your work doesn't feel stressful, the routine of anything day in and day out kind of draws on us. It raises our cortisol levels and makes us feel stressed in a way that you might not notice, which in a lot of ways is more damaging in the long run, because you know, right, when you're under huge amount of pressure, you're trying to get the record done, that feels like stress.
Sure.
But you might not recognize the day-to-day stress of the have-tos.
Right.
I have to go to work. I have to take care of the kids. I have to get this done. And then you live at kind of this high level of stress that you don't notice that starts to be taxing on your system. Mm. And so the idea of vacating yourself or vacationing from your day-to-day is a really great way to avoid stress and burnout, which according to insurance tables, stress and burnout healing those or dealing with those issues costs 5 times more to the insurance industry than dealing with all job-related maladies. You know, wow. The fact that people aren't taking time out to rest, to rejuvenate, to see things differently, to take the family on an overnight, to take the kids out in the backyard and sleep under the stars. You know, anything that takes you out of your norm is considered a vacation.
Right.
Hey, John, thanks for joining us. What's on your mind today? Hi.
Yeah, I want to talk about a couple vacation trips.
Yes. Tell me. Nope. Did I miss you, John?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, oh, cool. So go ahead, share with me your favorite vacation story.
Okay, best family vacation was a long road trip through Arizona and the Grand Canyon, experiencing big lightning storm with thunder and lightning and things we don't see around here.
Absolutely.
Having a car break down at one point, so we had a little excitement. and then non-family vacation, sort of the total disconnect from the world and cell phones and things like that, a 21-day whitewater trip through the Grand Canyon.
Oh, beautiful. Wow,
I have heard that is a bucket list item for most people.
Don't people wait years to do that, John?
Yeah. I was lucky. Friends have been on the list for years, and the only way they got their permit was to combine their dates, so they were able to move up the list. So two people had... They were on the list, and they were allowed to do that.
Wow.
And myself, and I got invited. So you know, that was a private trip, which is, you could pay $4,000 and go next summer.
Wow.
If you have the money with a commercial company.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I love that you added, John, that the car breaking down added a little excitement to the trip, because I think it is those things that are unexpected that make trips, vacations, getaways most memorable.
Mm.
We still talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how we respond to those situations arising.
Yes,
know?
We see the best or worst of us when we have the unexpected. Well, thank you for sharing the memories, and I really envy your trip down the Grand Canyon, because I think it has got to be one of the most spectacular ways to spend 21 days I could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you do it on a private trip, you're actually setting up your own camp, and the camaraderie built through that trip is pretty special.
Wow.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All working together. Great. Thank you,
John. Yeah, and I like that he added the camaraderie part, because you talked about what you're looking forward to is meeting new people, hearing new stories.
Right.
And you're going to be traveling in a van, I imagine, with your guys.
Well, three other men.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a four-way marriage.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So how do you navigate long road trips together? Have you found a groove?
Yeah, well, it's helpful that we just keep talking to each other a lot, you know. Whenever there's any sort of like issues, we tend to bring things up pretty early on. And we're also really comfortable with silence, which I think helps. Mm-hmm. It's funny because, you know, we're a band, we play lots of music. You'd think, oh man, these guys in their van, they must just be cranking tunes the whole way. No, we like probably 90 to 95% of our drives are in silence. Mm-hmm. We'll chat, we'll laugh and stuff, but we really like the silence as well. And I think that's nice for us to be able to stay fresh. So someone will drive for 2 hours, someone will switch, drive for 2 hours, and you can rest, you can read, you can, you know, and not that we're, you know, we're open to conversation, but just knowing that there's no pressure to, like, you don't have to chit chat for 18 hours. It's a lot of pressure.
And as we go down the list of how to ensure a healthy vacation, you hit another one, which is understand the needs of your traveling companions.
Ah, exactly.
To communicate before you go out, and whether it's with your spouse or your kids or your friends or your band, to have a lot of conversations before you leave on vacation and say, what are our expectations?
Exactly.
You know, will we be talking every second? Will we take some days apart? You know, what is our driving preferences. Right. What is our music preferences? Because I think that can make or break a trip.
Oh, yeah.
The music is not in sync.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, yeah. Hopefully it's not in sync. Yeah, for sure.
And then talking about before you leave on the trip, how will we deal with things that don't go well? Or how will we deal with hurt feelings? Or who, right, whose responsibility is it to say things aren't going well? Mm. And then below that on the list of how to ensure a good vacation is says, make sure you're a good vacationer, which is don't get too uptight about things.
Right.
You have to be more flexible. Things aren't going to be like they are at home. So,
and that's always made the best opportunities is being really spontaneous and open, you
yes.
know, just looking for different calls that come our way and just being receptive to it.
Yes.
I think about when I was in Mexico City, just the best times I had were just kind of wandering the streets and just seeing little opportunities like, oh, that looks like a nice thing that come, like, you know, just some random meeting of people and they're like playing drums or something, like, oh, you know, maybe I'll walk over here, you know, and those would be the most interesting experiences. Or rather than like planning out this amazing restaurant, like I'll find little like street corners and I'm like, wow, this is amazing food. This is the best. This is so much better than that restaurant I went to. You know, these sorts of things, just being really open and curious. And
let's talk generationally too, because I think at your age, a few generations behind me or a couple generations behind me, I'm not as easygoing about, hey, that looks like a random street vendor. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll check out what they're serving.
Yeah.
I have a little more afraid of that,
sure,
it might.
Sure, yeah.
So,
and I'm telling you, those are the best food. Foods that, like, I speak Spanish fluently, but there were some foods I needed them to explain to me in Spanish, like, what is huitlacoche, for example? Like, what is that? Like, oh, yeah, it's a mushroom that grows on corn that the ancient Aztecs ate. I was like, what? I got to try it. You know, let's put it in a quesadilla and let's see what we can
do.
And
it's like
one of my favorite foods in the world now. I'll never forget it.
Isn't that wild?
It blew my mind. And all because I was, that was literally on a street corner. Just like, and the food was so good.
If you're just tuning in, this, we're not just talking about food. We're actually talking about vacations as well. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. My guest today is Nick Larson from Proxima Parada. They're getting ready to go out on tour. They've got a new album coming out. He's also fun to have in the studio because he has a story for everything. We'd love to hear your stories as well. Our number is 805-781-3875 to be part of the conversation. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back in a moment to take your calls.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. I need to laugh, and when the sun is out, I've got something I can laugh about. I feel good in a special way. I'm in love, and it's a sunny day. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. We take a walk, the sun is shining down, burns my feet as they touch the ground.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. And vacation memories, or how to be a good vacationer, which I love that there's research on how to do a vacation well and how to prepare for vacationing and how essential it is to take that time. If you have vacation time, don't leave it on the table, because it really, according to the Pew Research, does not do you any good in the long term, because taking just a week off from work helps refresh your creativity. You actually come back with more ideas and more satisfaction about your workplace. If you're an owner of a business and you have people that are not taking time away, it really behooves you to send them out, because right. your insurance costs and your sick time is going to go down if your employees take regular vacations. Not only does it help our heart rate and blood pressure and our mental health, but it improves our relationships. Family time, we talk about, spending time with our parents or taking our kids out to do something as simple as doing a snow day, as you talked about with right. your dad, memories for life. And once your children are gone and leave home, it's the memories that you've created that keep you connected. And so just working that under extra 160 hours a year really doesn't pay off in the long run, because if you haven't taken time away to bond with your children, to create those memories, you're going to end up losing something that is dear to you.
Right.
And then the thing we most forget about is, how do we create those tight bonds with our spouses, our partners, mm-hmm. our most significant others? We tend to be really lax at maintaining those relationships. According to marital research, in order for couples to stay incredibly bonded, connected, in sync, they need to spend at least 20 hours a week together. Mm-hmm. And that's not sitting on the couch watching Game of Thrones together,
right.
but it's, you know, going for a hike, having to talk about something other than the kids, you know, riding bikes, and just sitting and meditating together, like something kind of in proximity, getting to bed early, mm-hmm. you know, spending time just really creating that energy connection for 20 hours a week. But then on top of that, couples need to have uninterrupted at least 5 days a year, ideally 14, but the minimum is five, because the idea is that in the first 2 or 3 days, you actually are going to argue more than usual if you haven't been spending time together. So those first 3 days on vacation, you might have things you want to talk about or fight about or bitch about, right? The things you haven't been dealing with for months and months. And then after the third or fourth day, you start to kind of get that groove. You've gotten over the things that are annoying about each other. And then all of a sudden you remember why you like each other.
Right.
And then when you fall into that groove of, this is why we like each other, by day five, you're kind of glowing. It's like, oh, yeah, you're my person. And then oftentimes people go home just when they're getting to that groove.
Oh.
But if you could extend it out, and even if it's just being home for the full 10 days or 2 weeks, you get to that place of flow that they call it, where you just kind of get so in sync with each other that everything kind of falls into place. And that, when you come back from your vacation, can maintain the relationship until the next break.
Right.
But for whatever reason, we tend to take better care of our relationship with our children or hanging out with our friends than we do with our primary relationship. 805-781-3875 is our number. And Steve, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Elizabeth. My name is Steve. I just wanted to let you know an interesting take on this. Father's Day, as you know, was Sunday, and
yes.
I had seven kids, and five of them were there for Father's Day, and we talked about our favorite vacations.
Great.
And unanimously, they liked our camping vacations. We would go backpacking in Yosemite or Sequoia National Park. We wouldn't be gone a real long time, 3 or 4 days, because especially some of the kids were younger. I happened to have triplets, and so
oh, my goodness.
When they were younger, we would all go backpacking, and there's no phones. There's no there's no social media. We just would talk. We would cook our dinner, eat our lunches and breakfast, hike and backpack together. And it's the greatest memories I have of my life with our vacations that we took that way. They didn't cost a lot. I have to admit, it was a lot of work to plan it and to organize it, so we survived and made it back. But I'll never forget them, and they're just fantastic memories.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And is it something that you get to continue as the kids are growing?
We did it up until now. They're all adults and they're out of the house. But they're starting to, as my grandkids start to get old enough to do that, they're going to do the exact same thing. They said
so cool. I hope you get invited, Steve.
Yeah, now you'll get invited because you want someone now to do all the prepping and preparing that you had to do for them, because that is a lot of work to be out on the road or out in the trail for a few days.
Sounds like it's definitely worth it.
We're so blessed because we have fantastic places to go to that are just a few hours away.
Right.
And we're very lucky that way.
And so, Steve, what did these trips do for your mental health? How did they influence and change how you felt about your work, your life, your responsibilities?
Well, it was really relaxing for me. I'm an emergency physician, and so this was a way for me to not hear ambulances come in, not have to go through the stress of that. It was just completely relaxing for me.
Quiet.
To go backpacking, sit and by a stream and, you know, watch them fish or swim or whatever we did and just talk, totally rejuvenating to then go back into the grind of an emergency room.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and as an emergency room doc as well, I imagine your cortisol level is always on high alert. So to get away from that, you must have really felt a drastic kind of drop in your whole being.
Yeah, we're kind of adrenaline junkies, and there wasn't an adrenaline fix there, except when we would jump off rocks into the pools of water and things like that. I was able to get my fix now and then for the adrenaline.
That's the best adrenaline fix. Steve, thank you for calling in and reminding us about backpacking.
Thank you.
Have
You're
a great
very
day.
Welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And Charlie, are you there? I think I might have lost someone here, Carol. There we go. Hi, Charlie, are you there?
Hi.
Who's this? For some reason, our phones are all having a party. Carol, I'm going to let you take care of that. We'll go back to our conversation. Nick, all right, so if you have dream vacations, because I don't want to dismiss, as much as we're talking about how easy it is to just vacation at home, we all have a few dream vacations. Right. So what's in your bucket list?
Yeah, so what's interesting is there's certain places that I want to go to so badly that they almost feel like they're not even on this planet. They're unattainable places. Mm-hmm. And one of them is a place that my mom has been, that she lived in when she was young, and my grandmother lived in, and that's Japan. Mm-hmm. And it's like, to me, it just has this allure that's like I've been hearing since I was a little kid, that it almost seems like, wait, what? You've been to Japan? Like, how did you get that? That's amazing. Wait, they have flights? Yeah. Like, wait, you mean that? You know, it's almost like it doesn't make any sense, because I know, like, you know, Korea right next door, China, like, oh, yeah, I understand how you can get there. But Japan is like this, like, sacred, like, you know, I'm definitely over idealizing this country, but I really want to go there. Like, for sure. I know that I want to go there and be in little villages and, you know, try to get by with my little bit of Japanese and, you know.
So are you a solo traveler? Is that your preference?
Historically speaking, yes. But I think if I did Japan, I'd want to take mom along.
Okay.
Because she's fluent in Japanese. So that would be really helpful.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm sure you get to see it through her eyes, because she's the one that made you create such a romanticized version
of
the trip.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think the Grand Canyon trip that was mentioned before, that's absolutely something I've dreamt of. 21 mm-hmm. days removed from everything in this primordial experience,
right.
For sure. I've always had this idea of walking across Ireland or walking across England. They have like a pub to pub walk. You mm-hmm. just go from place to place. I always thought that sounded fascinating. And I have always wanted to go through New Zealand.
You know, what's interesting about vacationing is that there's so many beautiful places to go to in this world. However, a place that sounds to you like your dream and my dream can be totally different. And neither is better or worse. But like for example, you said New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I know so many people that want to go to New Zealand more than anything else. And I have almost zero desire to go to New Zealand. And when I see photos, I'm like, wow, this place is gorgeous. Why don't I don't care. I just don't care. And it's the weirdest thing. And then like some people are like, Japan, that sounds terrible. I have no interest in going to Japan. And for me, it's like, no. It's the best.
It's out there in the horizon.
Isn't that the weirdest thing?
No, and I think that I do love that too, because I like hearing other people's stories about why they loved places. Mm. You know, my true love of vacationing or traveling is the United States. And I've just spent, as you know, the last 5 years driving across the country every summer in mm-hmm. some form or fashion. And I have this idea of getting to know every state and what's special about every state. Or I know every town has what's unique about that town, like San Luis Obispo, right? And so I kind of want to go to every town, like Spearfish, you know, Spearfish, South Dakota was phenomenal find of what I've never heard of. And we just kind of happened, stanced upon it. And they have a campground right in the middle of downtown Spearfish with a stream running through it.
Right.
And so that's truly my first love, is to do the United States, every nook and cranny.
Right.
And then maybe the bigger trips. But I have other friends who've never been out of California, but they've been in every country mm-hmm. around the world. So it's
right.
I love to know what it is that motivates people.
Yeah.
805-781-3875 is our number. Hey, Cheryl, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling in to talk about vacation.
Yes.
Yay.
What inspires you?
I learned a lot about my parents through vacations that I wouldn't have had the opportunity otherwise. They were hardworking, blue-collar workers who didn't have a lot of time, and we saw them at dinner time and then when we woke up in the morning. Mm. So during vacation is the first time I ever saw my dad wear shorts and flip-flops, and I didn't know he And he had all of these skills like fishing and weaving and things he could just pull out of his hat. And it was just a really amazing way to meet my mom and my dad as different people on vacation. And it was really wonderful. And they had to plan the whole year by working extra shifts just to get those 2 weeks off every summer. And it was magic. It was totally magic. So
that's a great perspective, Cheryl.
Yeah. Vacations, everyone should be able to take a vacation because kids can see that other side of their family when they're not in that work mode, family stress mode.
Right.
So, yeah, because I can imagine for a lot of people, and that they're seeing their dad probably laugh or their parents laugh together in ways that you don't see at home when it's just kind of stress and daily business sort of thing.
Right, and it's routine. It's, you know, it's the same conversation. It's the same action at 5:30, and you're right. You know, just seeing those different actions and different ways of being just really showed us a different side, and it was really wonderful to meet that side of our parents.
So, how did that inspire you as a parent? I don't know if you're a parent.
I'm not a parent. I don't have kids.
So, how does that
good for you, Cheryl?
How are those experiences?
I teach forest school, and most of the things that I learned about the forest come through those vacations of camping with my family in the Sierra Nevadas, those 2 weeks, and just roughing it.
Wow.
It's kind of paid off in that sense, and getting to know my parents in a different way.
Well, and it's interesting because I try to do a show around this theme every year, just to encourage people to do what you just mentioned, get to see their family through a different lens, or as Nick said, to get to know our own town, that this, for our mental health and physical health, that break from your day-to-day is so essential. So I do this show every year. And every year, the number one vacation memory is camping. Mm. It's never amusement parks or cruises or, you know, although I know a lot of people who do that, but no one ever calls and says that was my best memory was Disneyland. It's always camping, roughing it, being out in the woods, which leads me to believe, and I didn't grow up camping at all. My parents, that wasn't their thing. I never slept outdoors until I met my husband, or when he was my boyfriend, and we went, the very first time I slept outdoors was on the beginning of a seven day backpacking trip. And so I'm amazed how many people camp.
Right.
Cheryl, thank you for calling in. So did you grow up camping? Does everyone you know
actually,
camp?
Actually, my dad would take us camping every once in a while.
So you vacationed.
It would have been like overnight or something, you know, and not too far. Because Sacramento is so close. You could go 45 minutes or an hour up the mountains, just go east, either on the 50 or the 80, and you can find beautiful places to camp. So that was fun. And I've been promising myself that I'd buy a tent sometime. I think
it's a big commitment.
It's a big purchase. I've got a Target gift card from an old Christmas gift that I've been saving for. I've been telling myself a tent, but I haven't bought it. I haven't even really made any moves on that.
Because I think once you buy the tent, the commitment is there that you're going to use it.
Exactly.
And then you have to kind of put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
So are you someone who looks forward to sleeping outdoors?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, yeah. I like the quiet.
And I wonder for those parents or people who don't sleep outdoors, what that first hurdle, like for me, it was dating a boy that loved backpacking. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first time outside. But, you know, how to break down those barriers to get people, like you can take, there's a family camp at Camp Natoma, which is this weekend as well. And I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago, and they do everything. All you have to do is show up with your sleeping bag and you can take the kids and you go, and all the food is cooked for you, and you're out in nature and sleeping under the stars. But I think if you've never been camping, there are a lot of ways to do it. There's a whitewater trip up in Kings Canyon that's run by a company called Zephyr Whitewater. And we took our girls when they were 7 and 9 the first time, and then went every summer afterwards. Mm. And Zephyr has a setup where you can just show up and they have tents set up for you and all the camping equipment. And so you just arrive and they feed you and they have your tent and you take the kids down the river in a thrilling whitewater day. And so I think breaking that first barrier of getting outdoors by going through something that's a little planned will open up everything. Because it really does feel like universally it's the connecting to the natural world which creates the deepest sense of belonging and connection with people.
I like that. Yeah, it's not to say those other things aren't fun or valuable, but for some reason you're saying the most memorable is being connected to the earth. That those are the ones that really count.
And with the summer solstice on Friday night, we started the show talking about the whole kind of idea behind the summer solstice, this rising of this energy inside of us. It's almost like this calling of the natural world or our soul back to the natural world where the days are longer, it's warmer, you can sleep outdoors, that there's almost this instinctual need that we have as human beings to get back outdoors and be a part of the world around us. And I think if you did nothing else all summer, if you just took yourself out in the backyard and slept outside under the stars for one night, that might change everything about your perspective.
Mm.
Just one little challenge.
Right.
Spend Friday night, the solstice.
It's a good idea.
Sleeping outside under the stars.
It's very doable.
And then see if you feel that energy rise up inside of you.
Yeah.
Because that's the myth, is that there is a whole part of us, a spirit part of us that is trying to emerge out.
I think that's happening every day, but
is it for you?
Yeah. But I think Friday as well, for sure.
So Nick Larson, good luck on the road this summer.
Thank you.
I'm expecting good stories, good things back.
Hopefully I'll sleep under the stars at some point.
Hopefully not with a broke down van though.
Fair.
On purpose.
Yes.
And if people want to follow your journey, how can they?
Yeah, Proxima Parada, it means next stop in Spanish, if you forget. Yeah, we're on Instagram and you can listen to our music on Spotify. We'll have a bunch of new music out coming really soon. And yeah, Facebook, all that good stuff. Stay in touch.
The Proxima Parada Instagram is hysterical to follow. I will say Nick spends a lot of time curating special stories. So yeah, get on the bus with them if you can't go on your own trip. And I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. You can follow me on Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT, my Facebook page. Send me an email to Elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org and podcast our shows to take it on the road with you when you choose your vacation. As always, I appreciate you being a part of the conversation. I look forward to continuing next Tuesday at 2. Thank you for supporting Public Radio, KCBX.